Hello, warriors. Welcome to A Spiritual Warrior, a podcast that helps faith-based individuals mature spiritually through the Word of God, prayer, and application. I'm your host, Shatoya Antoine, and I pray that this episode blesses you. So let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to the Grief, Loss, and Legacy series. If you have not listened to the first episode of this series, I want you to go back and listen to it. And if you have, we'll just do a quick recap before we dive in for today's episode. So last episode, I briefly shared my struggles with the recent passing of one of my friends. I gave you guys some examples of loss because we know that not all grief is caused by death. And there was an application assignment that I hope that you have done and completed already. Just giving yourself some time to reflect and face the things that you've been avoiding, anything that you've been internalizing, anything that you've been struggling with or not wanting to share. And I hope you have taken that time to be able to write down those things that you have lost and your feelings in regards to that. So for today, we are diving in into grief. So I want to jump right in. So what is grief? Grief is defined as deep sorrow, especially caused by someone's death. And I know a lot of times we hear words and we know them and we know what they mean, or we think we know what they mean. But I like to dig deeper and truly define what it is that we are dealing with as well as what we are discussing. So what is sorrow? Sorrow is a feeling of deep distress caused by loss. It can be disappointment or other misfortune suffered by oneself or others. So I'm gonna read it again. Sorrow is a feeling of deep distress caused by loss, disappointment, or other misfortune suffered by oneself or others. So I read that again because I love the fact that it addresses disappointments as well and suffering that's caused by ourselves or others. And just also giving another example of grief and sorrow outside of death. So sorrow and distress has been mentioned in defining those two words. So I wanted to dig a little bit deeper. So distress or sorrow can be pain or anxiety. It can be sadness. It can be heartbreak. It can be unhappiness. And many of these are the result of some of the lost examples that I've shared in the previous episode. So I also wanted to touch on a biblical definition of what grief is. And the Bible states, the Greek version of the word grief, pain of body or mind, things that cause sorrow, sorrow itself, sorrowful, heaviness, to be angry with, and to work out with labor. And I just want you guys to just remember and know that grief is a natural response to loss. The fact that you are grieving or you have grieved, it is a natural response to losing something or someone. So we are going to talk about the five stages of grief. And I know for me, sometimes I'm just ready to get over my feelings and be back to normal. And that's how I was when my friend Jamaica had passed. I just wanted to get back to normal. I wanted to get back to my daily routine. I wanted to get back to podcasting, to blogging, and all of the things that I knew that God had called me to do for the year. But I hadn't processed the grief yet. And many times we try to make ourselves okay or get back to normal, and we haven't truly healed or even started the healing process. And in reality, it just makes things a lot worse because you have so much bottled up on the inside. And let's say a birthday or anniversary or a significant moment or event happens in your life, or some sort of other trigger that takes you back to that loss, and then you are like a complete wreck. So let's talk about these five stages of grief. So the first stage of grief is denial. So this stage is when you are in a state of complete shock. You are in a state of obviously denial. You may be numb. You may be confused as to what is going on or what has happened or why it has happened. But you keep functioning as nothing has happened because you haven't accepted what has happened. You haven't accepted what the loss is. You haven't accepted the death that has taken place. And sometimes people may say that, whoever has passed away, in my mind, I'm just taking it as that they're on this very long vacation and I'll see them one day again. And that's something that helps you to cope until you've actually accepted the loss. And once you accept the reality of what's happened, then your healing process can start to begin. So all the things, all the thoughts, all the feelings, the loss that you are denying, you will now start to feel those things and it will now start to surface and come to light once you've accepted the fact that you have lost the person or that you have lost something. So for me, when my friend Julia passed away back in 2016, my initial response to getting the news was denial. I was like, no, I don't believe this. This is too much. I'm gonna go to bed and I'm gonna wake up and we're gonna try this day again tomorrow. Like, given the fact that I had read news articles and seen that it was her home, seen the address, like I knew all of these things. But in my mind, I watch a lot of criminal shows like Law and Order, Criminal Minds. And I know sometimes that they will fake a person's death for whatever reason to protect the person until they catch like whoever has committed the crime. So that's what my thought process was. Like, they're just saying this until they figure everything out and everything blows over and then it's going to be okay. And she is like still alive. So that was my way of coping with it. It was complete denial. I went to bed and I said, I'm waking up tomorrow and we'll try this day again because this is not happening. So the second stage is anger. And I too experienced this stage as well when Julia passed, and I'll share with you guys. But first, this stage is where you may become angry with family. You may become angry with friends. You may become angry with loved ones. You may become angry at the doctors. Maybe they were sick and they passed away. You feel as though the doctors could have done more to help your loved one. You probably may have thought that they could have found a cure or they could have done something faster or sooner, and you start to be angry at them. Sometimes you could be angry at the person who died. Maybe they didn't share certain things that they were going through with you and you're mad at them, or you just have all of this anger built up and you have to place it somewhere and you place it with that person. Another example is you could be angry with God. Like, God, where were you? Like, why did you allow this to happen? And for me, that's where I was with Julia as well. So the whole denial piece came, and then I'm like, okay, now this is a reality. Now I'm mad at God because I feel like my friends and I, we have a prayer call every week. Faithfully, we're on this prayer call. We're praying and interceding on behalf of each other. Like, what was the point of us praying when you allow something like this to happen? Like, I had so many questions for God. I was very angry at him. And honestly, God didn't say anything back, but he did use someone to help me come back to. And I've shared that in my testimony series of Unshakable Faith. But a lot of times we're angry at God and we're asking, you know, where is he and why did he allow this to happen? And sometimes it's that we are still holding on to something, like I said, and we're trying to place that anger somewhere else. But this also shows like how much love that you have for the person, that you are just so angry at all of this that has happened and you need to place this anger somewhere. So I want you guys to know that it's okay to be angry. It's part of the healing process, but it also reminds me of the Bible verse that says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So basically, don't sin by letting anger control you. Like, it's fine to be angry, but don't take that anger and place it into a state where now you are sinning, and don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, because that anger gives a foothold to the devil. So now we're on to stage three, which is bargaining. And I think this was my first stage that I went to when Jamaica passed. So as you can see, you may reach every stage. You may only reach some stages. Every case of what or who you have lost is completely different. So the third stage is bargaining. So this could be maybe someone is sick, or they are about to die or about to pass on, and you begin to start saying things to God like, well, if you let this person live, I promise I'm going to be a better person. I promise I'm going to call them more. I promise I'm going to check on them more. Or I promise I'm not going to complain. I promise I'm not going to ask you for anything. You begin to start bargaining because you want something from God in exchange for, you want God to do something for you. So a lot of times that also involves like a what if narrative, like the what if narrative start. And that's where I started it. So some examples of what if scenarios are, well, what if I do all the things that they didn't get a chance to do while they're here, while they were here on earth? And then you want to do those things and you think that it will make you feel better. Or what if I just take a trip and come back and then everything will be back to normal? Or if I would have only called them, or if I would have only picked up the phone, or if I would have only said more, if I only could have been a better friend or a better daughter or a better son or a better parent. All those what ifs start to go through your mind. And a lot of that is guilt. And that is what is tied into this stage as well. And I struggle with that, whether I had been a great friend, whether, well, I knew I had been a great friend with Jamaica, but if I could have done more. And I just had all of these what if scenarios that were going through my mind. And the truth is, we think that we could have done something differently, or if we would have done something differently, then they would still be here, or the outcome would be different. And a lot of times that's not the case. And we go on carrying all that guilt that God has not intended for us to carry along. So once you have moved out of the bargaining stage, the fourth stage is depression. So this is where sometimes you may move into depression. You may have a depressive mood. You may feel a sense of emptiness. And this is completely normal after a loss. I think we tie depression to many other things, and we don't want to say that we are depressed or want people to know or think that we are depressed. But the reality is you just lost something or someone that is never coming back. And that is something that can cause you to go into depression. Some other things that could cause you to go into depression is trying to figure out how you're going to pay for the arrangements, let's say if somebody has passed on. And maybe you just may be in a depressed mood and you just want to be by yourself, or you want to be isolated from people. And sometimes when we want to be isolated and not want to be around other people, and sometimes we do need that isolation, but I believe a lot of times that when we want to be alone is when we actually truly need somebody, when we truly just need a hug from someone, or just a word of encouragement, or just to hear somebody say that you're thinking, that they were thinking about you, or that they love you, or just to be able to have somebody in your presence. They literally don't even have to say anything, but just to know that you have somebody there for you and they're actually there physically in your presence, and just sharing and just showing how much they love and care for you. And it's one of the steps that's a part of the process of grief and healing. So like I said, I don't want you to feel bad or to feel like you are, you know, completely in a bad place and you can't tell anybody. So it's fine to go through the stage of depression, but I don't want you guys to unpack and live there and stay there forever. The fifth stage is acceptance. And it's not so much that you're saying like, okay, like I'm over this, I'm done, I'm good. But you're really at a place where you're okay now. You're able to get back to quote unquote your normal life. You have made peace with accepting who you have lost or what it is that you have lost. And it's accepting the fact that if you've lost someone, you're accepting the fact that they're gone and you have to continue on with life without them. And the what ifs are not going to make them come back. And you know that, and you've accepted that, and you're okay with that. And what you wish you could have done is not going to change anything. The fact that you know that and you have accepted that and that you are okay with that, that is part of the acceptance stage. And just accepting that this is the new reality, and this is a new reality that you have to adjust to. And maybe it's someone you love, or maybe it's your husband who used to take out the trash and it's just you and your children, and now you have to delegate that to your children, or now you have to do that yourself. Or maybe your dad or your husband, your boyfriend or family member used to fix things around the house, and now you don't have them present to be able to do that. And now you're in a space where you still need someone to do what they were doing. So you have to find someone else to cut the grass or hang up pictures or do the manly things around the house. Or maybe your friend has passed, or you've lost the friendship, and you're used to them planning all of the girls' trips, and now another friend has to do it, or now it's something that you have to step up and be able to do. Or maybe someone that you lost used to be your go-to encourager, and now you have to rely and lean on somebody else to be that source of encouragement for you. And it's not easy, because you've been used to this one person doing this one thing for you, and now you don't have them anymore, and you're kind of adapting to this new reality where you have to open up for someone else to be able to do that for you. And it's not that you are finding somebody to replace your loved one or replace your friend or whoever that person may be, but like I said, it's you adjusting to a new life and a new reality. And sometimes you'll have good days, sometimes you'll have bad days. I have my days while I'm good, even though I have peace now with the loss of both of my friends. That does not mean that I don't have bad days. I still do. So just accepting the fact that some days will be better than others and some days won't. And, you know, you have to be okay with that. And it's okay to also start back doing the things that you love. And it doesn't mean that you have forgot about your loved one, and it doesn't mean that you're being insensitive. It's literally just you accepting what this new reality is and this new lifestyle that you have to this new life that you have to adjust to. Acceptance is also being okay with the fact that you can't do certain things with your loved ones anymore, or they can't do certain things for you. But knowing that it's okay to start allowing other people to be able to help you through those things, or to help you with those things, or to do them for you. It's not that, like I said, it's not that you're replacing them or anything like that. It's just you literally adapting to a new reality. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight. So don't feel like, oh, in a month, I gotta find someone else to fill this void or to fill this hole that I have in my life. But it's more so you just being real with yourself and you being honest with yourself and you being okay with whether it's meeting new people or allowing people that you already know to come in and to be that encouragement for you, to be that inspiration for you, to be whatever it is that you need that someone else used to offer for you. And to also be real about your feelings and what you are feeling. That was one of the reasons why I had you guys do the exercise at the end of the previous episode. So like I said, you may experience each of these stages. It may be some, it may be one, but know that you are not alone. Know that you have friends, know that you have family, know that you have a great support system to lean on if you would just trust them and actually lean on them. Sometimes we have people there, but we don't We don't want to lean on them. We don't want to go to them for help. We don't want to go to them for prayer and things like that. But even if you don't have a great support system or family or friends or loved ones, and even if you do, most importantly, you have God. If you have nothing or nobody else in this world, you have God walking this thing out with you. You can pray. Others can pray for you. You can believe that God will help you through this. And trust me, he will. But he has also provided you with physical guidance here on this earth as well. So I don't want you guys to think that you have to go through this alone, that you totally have to rely on other people. I think it's great to have wise counsel. It's great to go to family and friends as well. But God has also given us physical guidance and resources here on this earth that we can use. And that is in a form of therapy, that is in a form of counseling, that is in a form of grief counseling as well. And that doesn't mean that you're not trusting him, or that doesn't mean that you're weak because you need to go to therapy or you need to go to counseling. So I wanted to give an example. Let's say I was to fall down the stairs and crack my head. I'm not going to do that, and I pray that I don't, but I'm just using this as an example. So let's say that was to happen. I would go to the hospital and get checked out to make sure that I didn't break anything and to make sure that I received the proper care and that I healed properly. But the fact that I'm going to the hospital and going to get the necessary care that I need, that doesn't mean that I don't trust God to heal me. Because trust me, on the way to the hospital, if I'm conscious, I'm praying for God to be with every doctor, for God to be with every nurse, for him to be with every staff that he assigns to work on me, and for him to be able to give them the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding that they need to figure out what's wrong with me and to help me get back to my 100% self. And I'll be praying that he leads and guides them through literally every second and minute that they are working on me as well, that he sends his angels to watch over me, to cover them. I will go into prayer, and I'm sure my friends and family will be going into prayer as well and praying that God shows up as Jehovah Rapha, the healer that he is. But that doesn't mean that just because I'm going to the hospital, I don't trust God to heal me. I'm not going to sit at the bottom of the steps screaming for Jesus to heal me right now so I don't have to go to the doctor. Now, if God wanted me to do that and he wanted to use me in that way, because he is a God of miracle signs and wonders, and if that's the miracle that he wants to perform for me, then praise his name, and that's just what we're gonna have to do. But my point is saying that God is not calling you to sit with a broken heart in silence. He's not calling you to sit and suffer. Yes, prayer works. It totally works. And yes, God can heal you because he is a healer. And yes, there is nothing that's too difficult or too hard for him to do. But God has also provided you with resources on this earth that can help you navigate through this, and with him and his help as well. So just like God is a miracle worker, well, guess what? God can't work a miracle if you aren't doing anything. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. So yes, some blessings fall into our laps, but some blessings we won't be able to receive if we aren't moving, if we aren't in action, if we aren't doing something, if we aren't showing up. If we didn't use what God has already given us as well, and that goes into counseling. Like, yes, we have God, but we also have other things here, biblical things that we can go to God for as well. So I encourage you to go to counseling. I encourage you to go to therapy. Even if you aren't grieving or don't have anything wrong with you currently, I recommend therapy anyways. It's good to have an outlet and somebody to talk to and to help you through things professionally. And just to help you express like how you are truly feeling, and for you to be able to get that off your chest as well. So even if it's been years and you think that you're okay because that's what you've been telling yourself, if you have triggers, that's something that a therapist can, you know, walk you through and to help you with as well. And it won't just only be the therapist, it will be God helping and guiding you as well and leading you into how to manage those triggers and how to manage the things that you're struggling with so that you can heal. So I had thoughts and feelings that I didn't want to share with my friends. And sometimes I didn't want to feel judged, even though I knew that they wouldn't judge me. And sometimes I just wanted to have advice from a sound professional. The last thing that I want to do is to pour my problems and feelings onto other people for an extended period of time and not take the time to seek professional help for myself. The Bible says that we are to share in each other's burdens, but it doesn't say that we are to drain our loved ones. So we still have a part to play as well. And with that, I was able to find peace with the loss of Jamaica with the help of God and with the help of professional help. And specifically, I have a Christian therapist. And what I want you guys to do in all of this, I know this is a lot that I've shared so far, but what I want you guys to do as far as the application piece is to truly rest in God's word and the characteristics of who he is and what his promises say. So there are many Bible verses that you can go to for that. We know that God is a healer. We know that there's nothing that's impossible for him, but we say these things sometimes and we know it, but it's time to actually experience God for what we believe he is and what he's more than capable of doing. So some of my recommendations is, I know I mentioned Bible verses, being able to rest in his word and his characteristics and his promises. So the book of Job, Lamentations, and Psalm are three great books of the Bible that you can read and find verses to stay anchored in his word. I encourage you to read the Bible during difficult times. Read the Bible daily, even if you aren't going through anything, but specifically for this series. One of the books that truly helped me in 2016 when I was going through a rough patch, and like I said, this series isn't just all about death. I had lost my job, moved from Chicago here to Atlanta, and had been out of work for a whole 12 months, but God told me to move here. I was moving here out of faith, off of faith, and still trusting for him to do something here for me in Atlanta. I didn't know what that was at the time. And one of the things that I did is I read the book of Job, which is now one of my favorite books of the Bible. I don't know if you'll hear many people say that, but Job is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And it talks about God's sovereignty in the midst of struggling. Job literally lost everything, and then God turns around and gives Job double for his trouble. And in the midst of your loss, there is a great blessing waiting for you as well, because we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. So I encourage you to cry out to God. Even Job cried out to God. Even Job felt some of the stages of grief that we feel, even some of the stages that I have even shared with you guys today. And I actually want to read a passage from Job. It's chapter 7, and it's verses 6 through 21. So if you want to grab your Bibles and turn there, I'm actually going to read from the New King James Version, and I'm also going to read from the Message Version as well. So we're at Job 7, verses 6 through 21, and the New King James Version reads, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. The eye of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be. As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set a guard over me? When I say, my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my body. I loathe my life. I would not live forever. let me alone, for my days are but a breath. What is a man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? How long will you not look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my saliva? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I will lay down in the dust and you will seek me diligently, but I will no longer be. So I also want to read this from the Message version, just to give you guys a, well, I want to say a different perspective, because it's all still the Word of God. It's just a different translation. So within these verses that I've read, so it starts off talking about Job literally mourning his life. So let's start at verse 6. My days come and go swifter than the click of knitting needles, and then the yarn runs out, an unfinished life. God, don't forget that I'm only a puff of air. These eyes have had their last look at goodness, and your eyes have seen the last of me. Even while you're looking, there'll be nothing left to look at. When a cloud evaporates, it's gone for good. Those who go to the grave never come back. They don't return to visit their families. Never again will friends drop in for coffee. And I wanted to stop there to just kind of dig into those verses a little bit. So Job is literally in a season of pain. He's in a season of suffering, and he makes a comment first about how fast the time is going. Then he feels like the time is just dragging and going by so slowly. And sometimes you may feel that when you're grieving, thinking, when will this season end? Job also had, he was sleep deprived. He hadn't been getting any sleep. The nights had been hard for him. He felt that his life was meaningless as well. And even just going back to the issues with him being able to sleep, you may be having, you know, a hard time sleeping at night. It goes on that he felt like his life was meaningless and nothing else was there for him to live for. And I feel like sometimes when we experience the loss of someone, we feel like our life is now meaningless. Like, what do we have to live for, because we miss our loved one so much. Job literally had no hope. So let's go on to verses 11 through 16. And so I'm not keeping one bit of this quiet. I'm laying it all out on the table. My complaining to high heaven is bitter but honest. Are you going to put a muzzle on me the way you quiet the sea and still the storm? If I say I'm going to bed, then I'll feel better. A little nap will lift my spirits. You come and so scare me with nightmares and frighten me with ghosts that I'd rather strangle in the bedclothes than face this kind of life any longer. I hate this life. Who needs any more of this? Let me alone. There's nothing to my life. It's nothing but a smoke. So Job is literally complaining to God. He couldn't get any sleep. He couldn't get any rest. He's being terrified by dreams and nightmares. And like I said, you may have a hard time sleeping, or you may even be scared to go to sleep because, like, reality is literally setting in. Or you may be scared that you'll have dreams about what you've lost or who you lost. And literally Job just wants to be left alone. And I feel like sometimes when we are going through struggles, we're going through trials, we're going through tribulations, we just want to be isolated. We just want to be left alone as well. Verses 17 through 21. What are mortals anyway, that you bother with them, that you even give them the time of day, that you check up on them every morning, looking in on them to see how they're doing? Let up on me, will you? Can you even let me spit in peace? Even suppose I sin, how would that hurt you? You're responsible for every human being. Don't you have better things to do than pick on me? Why make a federal case out of me? Why don't you just forgive my sins and start me off with a clean slate? The way things are going, I'll soon be dead. You'll look high and low, but I won't be around. So Job was wondering if he had sinned or done anything to cause this affliction on himself. Job thought that God was punishing him. And I think that sometimes when we go through things, we think that God is against us or God is punishing us. And granted, sometimes we do things that may have opened the door up for sin in our life, and there are consequences to that. But in Job's case, God is literally doing something with Job. God is allowing Job to be an example. God is building Job up. God is giving Job so much grace. He's extended Job so much grace. And overall, you see all of this turmoil, all of the loss that Job experienced. But in the end, he was blessed beyond measure. So that just stands out to me. I know that you may be in a dark season, but there is literally better to come. And whenever I go through any trial or tribulation or loss, I always ask God, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to take away from this? And there's always something that you can learn, and there's always a lesson. There's always something that you can take away. There's always something that you can grow in from it. So I want you to take some time and ask God, what am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to take away from this? Job also asked questions. Job asked a lot of questions, but Job didn't wait one time to wait for God to respond. So I want you guys to ask. I think sometimes people say you're not supposed to question God. No, we aren't supposed to question God, but if you do have a question, so are you to ask to get an answer, and that's God. My whole thing is, if you are going to ask God a question, just be prepared for what his response is going to be. In this, in Job, you know, crying out to God and, you know, sharing all of this, he expressed like characteristics as well that we can display when we are crying out to God. And that is to be bold and to be honest and to literally lay it all out before God. If Job was able to do that, know that God wants us to be able to do the same. The Bible says to cast all of our cares and anxiety on him because he cares for us. Another book of the Bible that's great is Hebrews. And this is another book of the Bible that I read when I was out of work for 12 months. And it's a book on faith, just helping you to be able to fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. James is another book that I read when I was going through my job loss as well. And it's a book that will help you to be able to persevere through trials. It teaches you that faith without works is dead. It helps you to be watchful of the things that come out of your mouth, because we all know that the power of life and death is in our tongue. It teaches you, it helps you with submitting to God, to be able to pray prayers of faith. We know that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. We learn that we are to be not just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And I believe that it's a time to activate what God's word says, but we can only do that if we know what God's word says, and then we'll be able to rest in it. Psalm is another book of the Bible that you can go to for prayer. If you don't know what to pray, if you don't know how to pray, if you need a prayer on grief, you need a prayer on loss, you need a prayer of encouragement, if you need a prayer of anything, you can literally go to the book of Psalms and find a prayer that you can read, that you can pray back to God as well. Lamentations, which I mentioned, is also another good book of the Bible. And it covers emotions of loneliness, of anger, of brokenness, of weeping, of weary. Literally a lot of the things that we've talked about in the stages of grief, this book of the Bible addresses. And it's a short book. It's 5 chapters. So those are some books that you can, you know, take a look at and read and meditate on. I also wanted to encourage you guys that there is literally a season and a time for everything. Just as God gives us life, there is a day where that is going to end for each and every one of us. And I wanted to just read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and it reads, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. That should encourage you that it is okay to break down at times. It is okay to grieve, but know that you will enter a season where God will lift you and build you up. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So I just want to encourage you guys that there are seasons for everything. We will have our good times, we will have our bad times, but thank God that we have Him to give us peace and to be our Prince of Peace and to give us peace that surpasses all human understanding. So I want you guys to pray, be open to letting others pray with you and for you. People don't know what to pray about if you aren't sharing with them. Granted, they can intercede and God can speak to them in ways where they can sense and know what you're going through and to pray on your behalf. But I want to encourage you to be open to letting others pray with you and for you. And be okay with reaching out and asking for prayer. I want you guys to talk to God because He's listening. He's waiting on you to speak. And He's waiting for you to listen for His guidance and His direction. I want you guys to cry out to Him just as Job did. Tell Him how you truly feel because He's waiting on you so that He can heal you. Cry as much as you need to. God is the collector of tears. Psalm 56:8 states, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." So know that God is sympathetic. God cares for you. He knows what you're going through. He's with you and He's waiting to rescue you from all of your sorrows. Don't think that you're bothering God or that He's tired of you. No, He's waiting on you so that He can heal you. Lamentations 2:18-19 reads, "Their heart cried out to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let your tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Let your eyes have no rest. Arise, cry out in the night. At the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward Him." So like I said, pray. Please pray. Cry out to God. Pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. Even though it's a difficult season, thank God that you're going through it because it's for a reason and it's for a purpose. Communicate with God. Sometimes prayer is just a conversation. It's not any fancy words or you have to be eloquent in your prayers. It's literally a conversation. You just seen how I read from chapter 7 of Job that he literally is just talking to God. It's not anything that's fancy. It can be a conversation. Just focus on God and focus on Him alone. Anything that's pulling you away from Him, ask God to remove it so that you aren't distracted by what he's trying to speak to you and by what He wants for you and what He's trying to do for you. Don't think that you always have to go into a prayer closet. Some of my best prayers and crying out to God have been in the shower. Some of them have been in my prayer closet. Just know that God is not confined to a church. He's not confined to a building. God is literally everywhere and you can talk to Him anywhere. You can talk to Him any place and you can talk to Him anytime. I want you guys to give thanks knowing that He is in charge, that He is still in control and that He is sovereign and that nothing catches Him by surprise. And like I said, thank Him for this season because it is for a reason and it is for a purpose. I want you guys to also lean on God's promises. The Bible says that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that's Matthew 5:4. So God knows that you will mourn, but God promises that you will be comforted. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 reads, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Psalm 46, 1, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Psalm 119, 49 through 50 reads, "Remember your promise to me. It is only my hope. Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles." So I want you to remind God of what he said. Remind God of what his promises says and pray those promises back to God. And I pray that that helps you to stand firm on his word, because God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, then he's going to do it. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God promises rest. So remind yourself of who God is. Remind yourself of his characteristics. Jeremiah 32, 27 reads, "I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me?" Nothing is too hard for God. Exodus 15, 26 reads, "I am the Lord who heals you." God is a healer. Psalm 34, 17 through 19, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time." Not sometimes, not maybe. The Lord comes to rescue each time. Each time that you go through something, God is coming to rescue you if you let him. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." And when you are afraid, put your trust in God. Psalm 56:3. And Luke 22:42 reads, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So I've given you guys some verses to meditate on, some verses to pray back to God, some promises to pray back to God, some books of the Bible to read that will comfort you, that will help you, that would lead and guide you in this healing process. And just for you to be reminded of who God is and what his characteristics are. So read Job, Lamentations, Psalm, James, and Hebrews. Those are just some options. You don't have to read them all in a day, but I just wanted to give you guys some application so that you aren't searching for things and getting discouraged. I want you to be able to find promises to lean on and to stay anchored on. And I've given you guys a few. And I want you to pray those promises back to God. Remind God of what he said and what he's promised. I want you guys to rest in who God is and his characteristics. And I encourage you to find a Christian therapist if that is what you need in this season. So that is all that I have for you guys on this episode. On the next episode, we will dive into mourning, as well as coping with grief and helping others who may be grieving. So if you have not already, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast. And please, 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 please be a blessing and share this episode with somebody else. It is something that they may be needing in this season that you may know or you may not know. So I encourage you to share it with someone. Love you guys, and I will talk to you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Make sure that you check out the show notes, and I'll chat with you next time. Be blessed.